This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Hey, it's Rich. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of the Zioli Show. Do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and tell your friends. Either that or I'll leave to become President Trump's chief of staff. Thanks for listening.
Rich Zioli Show Podcast.
The big story of the day today, of course, is a domestic story involving the once and future governor of Virginia, who refuses to resign over a racist photo in his yearbook, or a photos, plural. And I'm now calling him Governor Moonwalk because he was going to do the moonwalk yesterday at a press conference. It was unbelievable. This guy is the most politically stupid man probably in the history of politics. I mean, he's really dumb. And he's completely out of touch with everything. And he was literally going to moonwalk until his wife told him not to moonwalk. I kid you not. And his argument is that, hey, look, it couldn't have been me in the yearbook because I've worn blackface. I know blackface. And believe me, I didn't put blackface on that day. I would have remembered. Ask anybody who knows blackface, like I know blackface, and I would tell you, no way was that my blackface that day. Other days, yeah, but just not that day. So he's an admitted blackfacer. He's just not admitting to blackface that day of the actual yearbook picture. But he used to do it for Michael Jackson's face. And he would put on blackface to be Michael Jackson, and then he moonwalk in dance competitions. And somehow, the Gillespie campaign, the Republican who was running for governor of Virginia, somehow the Gillespie campaign missed this. It's amazing. Now, I have a couple theories on this point. The first theory is that they didn't miss it because how could anybody miss this? How could any opposition researcher worth their salt miss this picture? They had it. They didn't know what to do with it. They didn't think using it would be a wise idea, or they wanted the guy to lose, or who knows what. I mean, it's hard to say. Maybe they thought dropping the picture would muddy the waters, and they thought they didn't want racists in Virginia to be able to choose. I don't know. See, this is the ironic part. Back then, the Democrats were slandering Gillespie as a racist. Left and right. They kept calling the guy racist. They ran these very, very scary ads against him, saying that his Virginia would be a dark place. Kids running away from INS and or ICE, whatever, running away. And they kept doing this over and over again. And a lot of times when this happens, campaigns would then try to push back and say, nope, that's not us, not who we are. Instead, the Gillespie campaign, in some weird way, tried to own it. And never push back. And I don't know, maybe they had some polling data that showed them that he had a lock on the racist vote or something. And he didn't want to give that up, risk that by showing Northam in blackface, thinking that maybe a couple of racists might switch their support for him. I don't know, really. It's hard to say what kind of stupidity their campaign was running. But then the other point, too, is that when a lot of people abandon him to send a message, that message being, yeah, if you're going to be Trumpy, you're not going to win. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, it's exactly what I think is probably the more plausible of the two theories. You go back to the time when the Gillespie campaign was under fire in Virginia for being racist because he was against sanctuary cities. And at the time, a number of people, including Evan McMullen, who was a guy running against Trump as a third party candidate, and a number of other people, they pulled their support from him, from Gillespie. They said they pulled their support because if you're going to be like Trump, we want nothing to do with you. It's amazing. And when that happened, I think they wanted to send a message. And I really, truly believe at that moment, they supported Northam, including Bill Kristol, the failed guy who ran the Weekly Standard, the failed neocon guy who just truly hates President Trump because he's not getting us into any new wars and, in fact, wants to bring troops home from wars. That guy donated money to Northam's campaign, apparently. But I'll give you an example. Evan McMullen tweeted the following out on November 7th. Ed Gillespie was one of the good guys, but now he peddles fear and white nationalism. It's better for Virginia and America that he not prevail. So a number of Republican operative, never Trumpers, I guess you could say, they all abandoned the guy to send a message. Hey, if you're going to be like Trump, you're going to lose. Do they have the picture at the last minute? And did they sit on it then because they figured that they would not use it because it might help Gillespie and he'd win, in which case it would empower Donald Trump's presidency to have a guy like Gillespie in there at that moment? I don't know. The 2017 Virginia governor's race between Republican Ed Gillespie and Bill Kristol-supported Democrat Ralph Northam was bitter. The election was considered, this is from redstate.com, the election was considered some kind of a proxy for defeating Trump, and a lot of money was expended on the race. So the question is, how did Gillespie's campaign miss the Ralph Northam either in blackface or a KKK costume? And he couldn't recall which one was which, by the way. Originally, at first he said it was him, then it's not him. It's another time he had blackface on. He was confusing his blackface moments. I mean, who doesn't? Northam was walking away. So the Washington Post fact-checked a couple of ideas about whether or not the Gillespie campaign could have known. And yeah, they've been looking around this and they're saying, yeah, as Gillespie tried to go to the right, that was when the people that were on the Never Trump team of things who wanted Gillespie to come in as a guy who was not a Trumper now abandon him and let him go down in flames. It's a theory. It's a theory. In a racially charged campaign, will Gillespie want to be accused of trying to depress black turnout? Could he even be sure the press wouldn't ignore the images and savage him more for employing a dirty trick to distract voters from lofty issues at stake? Like, would Gillespie supporters actually chase black and Hispanic kids with their pickups? What do they mean by that? So there was a campaign ad that was run. It was a pickup truck driving through Virginia, like a suburban town. And a kid who was black and a kid who was Hispanic running from the truck. The truck had a Gillespie for governor bumper sticker on it. And it was very dark and ominous. And the ad was heavily criticized as being a racist ad, fear-mongering ad, that sort of thing. And then, you know, when the argument would be that if his campaign found this picture, the argument could be dirty tricks, and then the media would go after him harder, and the Democrats would all rally around him in the last minute. I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. I think that it's pretty obvious that if you had dropped this picture in the campaign at the last minute, it would have been very hard for this idiot to explain anything because he's a moron. And they had to know he was a moron. I mean, he's a doctor, so he's not completely a moron. I'll say this. He's politically a moron. You could be smart at some things in life and dumb at other things. This guy is politically moronic. He truly is. And maybe they thought that there would be all this rallying around Northam at the time if the pictures came out in the final moments of that campaign for governor of Virginia. Maybe they thought that. What they didn't count on was his own stupidity, because the guy would have come to the microphone, I assume back then, and said, I'm sorry, I'm hurtful. And then, no, different time. I've worn blackface, but just not that day. Other days, I wear blackface usually on weekdays. That's a weekend, I think. We're not sure. But either way, I've checked my stash of blackface supply, and there's more than is allotted for two pictures. I don't think I could have done two pictures. Then again, my blackface supply, I haven't reordered it in quite some time. There's other times I did blackface besides those two times. So believe me, there was more times, and I'm so shameful and hurtful, but it's not me in that picture. So you all should get off my back. And the entire country at that moment would have said, what the hell is this guy talking about? And he would have lost. They didn't count on his political stupidity at the time. But luckily for America, we have his political stupidity right now for all of us to enjoy, because this guy, I mean, he sets new standards now on political stupidity. Even willing to do the moonwalk to show everybody that he can still, I guess, moonwalk. Now, I don't know if right before this moment he was prepared to put on some shoe polish. I don't know. That might have been off camera. I don't know if he turned to the reporter and said, should I darken my skin first? I don't know. But this is the clip of that.
I didn't ever really think about that there would be anything offensive in my EVMS yearbook. But this literally hit me like a ton of bricks last night. It totally caught me off guard. So it was something that I wasn't expecting. And to your point, the people that do that kind of research, perhaps they should have looked at that.
And you said that the competition in San Antonio was a dance competition?
Yes.
And it was that you danced the moonwalk?
That's right.
Are you still able to moonwalk?
Inappropriate circumstances.
My wife says inappropriate circumstances.
He was going to do the moonwalk in the political press conference, survival of his life. He was literally going to stop and moonwalk until his wife said, politically, it's inappropriate, inappropriate. You're an idiot. And you know, in her mind, she's thinking that too. You are an idiot. I can't believe I married you. What was I doing? And he was going to stop and moonwalk at that moment. and I assume grabbed some shoe polish. I don't know. Hard to say. 855-839-1210. But he goes down in history right now, whether he survives his term or not, as the dumbest, politically moronic person ever in politics. Ah, yes. He'll be moonwalking himself into oblivion. Why now, of course, is the question. 855-839-1210. Why did this picture come out now? I want to play you a clip over the weekend. This is from CNN. This tells a lot here. This is a little montage. CNN really doesn't want to talk about the abortion controversy from a few days before the picture came out. All right. Now, this is interesting here. Cut 10.
You want to talk about a politician who has had a bad week. I mean, you kind of didn't exactly report what happened this week when I think it was quoted as relaxed the abortion restrictions. I mean, this was basically a bill that he supported that literally allowed, I mean, almost literally allows an abortion up until the time you cut the umbilical
this
cord.
This is not the point,
Steve. But I, again,
that's
I don't,
what I'm saying
point.
Is that,
that's
that, that has
is,
really
that is
infuriated
what came out
people.
This week. I don't want to get into the debate
okay.
about abortion. That, what he said
that,
was confusing.
But he's under assault
yeah.
for that, too. And yeah. I would make the case that was an even worse offense than this picture.
Okay. Well, you, okay, yeah. well, now you just, now... You,
let's talk about...
Steve, we're going to talk far. About the issue yeah. of racism, and yeah, I know you would like to divert the issue to a conversation that's more comfortable for you about abortion or something, but the reality is this is a racist... Right, but this
let's
is, this
focus
is
on the
behavior.
Issue, please. Yeah. Let's
this
focus
is racist
on the
behavior.
Steve.
And we ought to respect every human life.
All right, now let's stop it there for a second. So... Northrum talks about last week this horrific support for what can only really be described as infanticide, post-term abortion. And the Democrats either did one of two things. Either they said, I didn't hear it. I don't know what he said. Now, that was Nancy Pelosi's approach. I didn't hear it. And then other people who said, well, why are you just trying to spin this away from taking away a woman's right to choose? But they didn't know how to defend him. They were in very, very tough territory. They didn't know what to do. They were walking on eggshells about it. And then magically, this picture comes out. But what's fascinating, though, is that last week, zero Democrats called on Northrum to resign over his support for what can only be described as a post-term abortion after birth when it's an infant. No Democrats called on him to resign over that. Zero, zero, zilch. Then all of a sudden, magically, this picture shows up. Of him in either a Klan suit or blackface. We're not sure which one is which. And at first he says, yeah, I'm sorry. Then he comes out and says, yeah, I don't think that was me. And it's all very fascinating, the timing of this. And everybody has their theories. But there's one guy who I would look to if I were you in all of this. The Lieutenant Governor of Virginia. His name is Justin. Justin. Justin Fairfax, not Justin Trudeau, but he's like a Trudeau. He's very far left on a lot of things, including, by the way, abortion. He's very far left on that issue as well. But here's what I find particularly, I don't know, he's a young guy. He's 40 years old, barely 40 years old. He's 39, 40, like right on the cusp of that. And he's now considered a rising star in American politics. Now, two things are true in Virginia. Number one, the governor is term limited after 6 years. Number two, Virginia, of course, is a state that it's gone blue, but it could go the other way. It could go the other way. But if you're 40 years old and you're this accomplished young black guy, you wouldn't know he's black, though, because the Northrum campaign did everything they could to hide the color of their lieutenant governor candidate. I kid you not. They took pictures away. He wouldn't pose with them. He wanted nothing to do with them. Like a good old Southern Democrat governor, he wanted nothing to do with the black guy who was going to be his lieutenant governor. He just ignored him. No pictures went out. But Justin Fairfax didn't care because now he could be able to become lieutenant governor. And he's young, and he's, from what I understand, he's a very bright guy. He's a lawyer. He went to Columbia Law. So there you go. Now, what I'm just going to say is this. Why wait 6 years to then run for governor of Virginia when that would be 2023? I mean, the election was last year, so we're talking about 2023, like that, 2020, in that range. But if Trump wins a second term, somebody has to step up and run against him in 2024. So why not already be the governor of Virginia? And then you can run in 2024 for president. Why not already be an incumbent governor? instead of waiting to become governor at that point. See, I think that a lot of people smell blood in the water when Northam obviously is a dummy, right? So he comes out, he admits on television, on radio, what they all believe, but they're not supposed to say in public, which is, yeah, we support killing the kids after they're born. Yeah, what's fine. But he admitted that, and they all said, oh, you moron, you're supposed to be quiet about that. You're not supposed to tell everybody. Exhibit it. Don't let them know our support for that thing. Just keep it quiet. But he did. He put it out there. So now he was a liability. When you're a political liability, that's when your opponents strike. So I'm just curious, because another interesting happened. As everybody was calling on Northam to resign and rallying around Justin Fairfax, Fairfax came out and said, Northam was wrong to do all these things, but stopped short of calling on him to resign. Obviously, right? Because he wants the job. And then something else happened. An apparent Me Too sexual harassment scandal suddenly now came to life that was from years ago. And very quickly, they were all prepared to handle it, answer for it, deal with it. But again, that scandal also never came up during the governor's race. But it magically came up in the last 48 hours or so. It's an older claim. And then, like magic, the Washington Post comes out and says, well, hey, we fact-checked that, and we had lots of red flags with that story. So, yeah, we decided not to run with it. And so today, everybody in the media went, well, if the Washington Post passed on it, obviously it's not true. There you go. He's clean. Now we can all back him. So another instance, by the way, of a woman who has accused a high-ranking, powerful Democrat of sexual harassment or sexual assault or rape. And the Me Too thing doesn't count because the allegation was aimed at a Democrat. So everybody goes, ah, she's probably lying. And they went, fine. Washington Post checked it. Well, then we're good. And that was the end of it. So he's primed now to become the governor of Virginia. I'm just saying to you that I would look very closely. Sometimes when the Republicans wouldn't have dropped this picture now. There's this phony story that I saw in the press, and I don't believe this. I don't believe a lot of things I read in the paper. A tip from a concerned citizen helps a reporter land the scoop of a lifetime about Northam. The reporter who exposed the racist photo on Governor Ralph Northam's yearbook page said a concerned citizen led him to the story that has prompted widespread outrage and calls for the Democrats' resignation. Patrick Howley, editor-in-chief of the website Big League Politics, first reported Friday the existence of a photo depicting a figure in blackface standing next to another person in a Klan hood. It's very easy to explain, the reporter said. A concerned citizen, not a political opponent, came to us and pointed this out. I was very offended by the photo because I don't like racism. The tip came after Northam's comments on Wednesday about late-term abortions. The source of the tip appears to have been a medical school classmate or classmates of Northam who acted as a direct result of the abortion controversy. Now, I don't believe this either, and I'll tell you why. When the original abortion comments came out last week, the media all said the same thing. They went, the conservatives pounce. That was literally the word they used. Pounce. They all pounce on them. Conservatives pounce on Northam over these comments. And now it's going to be, and they forced him out of office because of their hatred for his support for a woman's right to choose, even though that had nothing to do with it. It was about his comments about an infant being, after the infant was born. But they're going to use that, and then they're going to say, well, he's a victim of this. And but now we have this new, young, able-bodied man to become governor of Virginia. He'll only be the second African-American, black American, whatever the nomenclature in Virginia is these days, to become governor. Now, this is also, I find, particularly cute about all this. He wouldn't be the first, as I mentioned, he'd be the second, because Governor Douglas Wilder, who was governor of Virginia, was also black 30 years ago. 30 years ago, Virginia had a black governor. Now, ask yourself this question. If 30 years ago, Virginia, at one point, the headquarters of the Confederacy of the United States, at one point of the non-United States, they had a black governor 30 years ago. 1984, apparently these pictures come out of the Klan robe and the black face and everything else. And somehow then, none of this comes to light till all these years later. And you're telling me, this entire time that Ralph Northam is involved in politics and given money and all this other stuff, nobody finds this yearbook. Nobody checks on this yearbook. Nobody looks at this yearbook. Nobody looks at it and says, we can use this against this guy to destroy this guy. My theory on this is very, very simple. They knew it was there. They had it on him. They were ready to respond if it ever came out. It never came out, but they had it. And when they were ready to use it, they used it. Knowing he can't survive from that. Because now Democrats can openly disown this idiot without them saying it's because of abortion. You can't, for Democrats, no one, as I mentioned to you last week, no one, I mean zero Democrats came out and condemned his comments about the baby would be, you know, resuscitated if that's what the mother wanted, kept comfortable, as a discussion ensued. Nobody condemned that. Nobody on the left. In fact, deep down inside, they were going, right, yes, but shh. The pro-abortion groups were happy. They were all happy. Andrew Cuomo was saying, hey, look, I thought I was the biggest killer. Now you? But none of them condemned him. And then magically a picture comes out. And then every Democrat unanimously, it was everybody from the Virginia Democrats, the National Democratic Committee, the two senators who represent Virginia, Sleepy Eyes Tim Kaine, who looks honestly like he's one of the dwarves with, you know, Cinderella, like, what's her name? Not Cinderella, the other one. Snow White. Yeah. And then the other senator, who's always grandstanding about Russia, Warner. Both of them have called on the governor to step down. And other Democrats, by the way, across the country, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, the vampiric one, they've all come out now unanimously. He's not going to make it. He won't survive. It won't be a full term for this governor. This governor will not go full term. It will be an early termination of his governorship. There's no doubt. But I'm just saying to you, I think when Justin E. Fairfax becomes governor of Virginia, just watch this guy, because from what I've heard from my friends in Virginia, he's even more radical than Northam is. But I'm fully convinced it wasn't Republicans or conservatives who put this picture out. It was Democrats who smelled blood in the water and said, get him out. Get the guy out. Northam had declined to shake hands with E.W. Jackson, an African-American, against him for lieutenant governor. And he took away the pictures of him with the guy who would become his lieutenant governor, who is now poised to become the governor of Virginia, Justin E. Fairfax. Oh, kids, make no mistake. Democrats are very, very mean with each other. Very mean. They had the picture the whole time. They were just waiting for the right opportunity. Opportunity presents itself, and the shiv comes out. Honestly, he's the dumbest politician ever.
It's bizarre. The whole thing, though, right? Because you said that he at first he admitted it, and then he denied it. Yeah. And then, like, which one is he?
I swear.
I know. It was...
Yeah.
Like, as if you'd forget
not.
That.
Yeah. I don't think it's me. First he said it was me. Then he said, I don't think it was me. Then he admits I darkened my face. Now, listen to this now. This is amazing here. Cut three.
While I did not appear in this photo, I am not surprised by its appearance in the EVMS yearbook. In the place and time where I grew up, many actions that we rightfully recognize as abhorrent today were commonplace. My belief that I did not wear that costume or attend that party stems in part from my clear memory of other mistakes I made in the same period of my life. That same year, I did participate in a dance contest in San Antonio, in which I darkened my face as part of a Michael Jackson costume.
So yes, now I did put on blackface, but not that other time.
Oh my goodness.
So those of you who slander and sully my good reputation, I did not put on blackface that day. I put on blackface another day. Wrong day. It's Blackface Thursdays where I'm from. No self-disrespecting son of the would ever put blackface on a Wednesday or Taco Tuesday. Yes, Dawn.
No, it's hysterical.
It would be blackface brunch sometimes, and we'd do the moonwalk. But I did not have blackface with that blackface in that picture. I did not have blackface with that picture. Go ahead. This is great.
I look back now and regret that I did not understand the harmful legacy of an action like that. It is because my memory of that episode is so vivid that I truly do not believe I am in the picture in my yearbook.
I can't forget how good I looked with things. The shoe polish on my face and doing the moonwalk, and everybody thought I was Michael Jackson. I was so dark, in fact. I could never forget that. It's unforgettable. Maybe I should sing Unforgettable. Get me some shoe polish. Oh, no. I'll do some more tunes while I'm here. This guy's the biggest idiot.
The way he speaks is like a spoof, like a Saturday Night Live spoof.
It is. It's like somebody acting as the Southern governor who used to put blackface on. Yeah.
And then I went to a party, like the way he speaks.
I did not put blackface on my face at that time. Other times I put blackface on my face. Not that time. And believe me, I know. I have vivid memories of the blackface. What a pain in the neck it is to get off your face and put on your shoes again. And sometimes I put blackface on my shoes and my face at the same time.
Oh, no.
I call that the double shine.
Double shine.
That's what I call
double
that. Easy to remember. So easy to remember. Honey, should I do the moonwalk in front of everybody right now and show them all my moonwalking abilities?
The people that do that kind of research, perhaps they should have looked at that.
And you said that the competition in San Antonio was a dance competition?
Yes.
And it was that you danced the moonwalk?
That's right.
Are you still able to moonwalk?
Inappropriate.
I'm going to moonwalk right now for all you to see in the nation. Anybody got some shoe polish or a magic marker would be fine. Preferably a Sharpie. We used Sharpies back then when we couldn't find the shoe polish. Who's got a Sharpie? Not appropriate, honey? Not appropriate. I'm going to moonwalk at home.
My wife says inappropriate circumstances.
I mean, is she a potty pooper or what, everybody? Is this woman Debbie Downer or what?
Oh, my God.
I mean, just we're about to have a little fun. She comes along and says, I reckon I can't do the moonwalk. This is so great. This is great. I love this guy. This guy, I mean, he's a hideous, abhorrent human being. But this is just so fun. I wish my wife... You're such a Southern priss with your little manners. Your little man, she's just trying to protect me because sometimes I get the blackface on my shirt. And if I don't have ring around the collar, what is that now? What do they put on that ring around the blackface collar? I don't even remember now what we used to use to get it out. Oh, right, a white sheet. Too soon? Is that too soon to be making white sheet jokes? Too inappropriate. Okay, but my wife says inappropriate. I better just stop. But instead, I'm going to keep going. Instead, I'm going to keep going and keep talking about how they used to call me Coon Man. This is amazing. Cut five, please.
Yesterday evening was the first time I saw this photo. It was shocking and it was horrific.
How do you account for one of your nicknames that's listed in the BMI yearbook in 1981, Coon Man? What's your explanation for that?
My main nickname in high school and in college was Goose.
Grand Knight. My main nickname was Grand Wizard, but they didn't have enough space under the caption for that. They ran out of letters. So they instead said, are you okay with Coon Man? And I said, I guess. Not happy about it, but what are you going to do?
Was Goose. Because when my voice was changing, I would change an octave. There were two individuals, as best I can recollect, at VMI. They were a year ahead of me. They called me Coon Man. I don't know their motives or intent. I know who they are, but that was the extent of that, and it ended up in the yearbook, and I regret that.
I do regret that. At the time, I was so busy, though, one day burning a cross in my backyard. When they called me Coon Man, I thought they said kerosene. So you can understand what happened there. They got, hey, Coon Man. I said, oh, kerosene. I got plenty here for this here cross burning. But let me keep talking and say more inappropriate, idiotic stuff as I doom my political future forever and ever. While we're on the subject, if anyone has black construction paper, I found a way to attach that to my face and I could still do the dance. Inappropriate, my wife says. I'm so tired of this Southern little priss. There's so much to this idiot's press conference. I really don't even know where to start, but... why don't we hear from the governor admitting that he did put a little shoe polish on his face? Cut seven.
I wasn't. I'll tell you exactly what I did, Alan. I dressed up in a... what's his name? Michael Jackson, excuse me. That's why I had Pam with me. I had
also to get me to not inappropriately dance for all you people too.
So. Michael Jackson, excuse me. That's why I had Pam with me. I had the shoes. I had a glove.
You have to understand, I did this a lot back then with black singers, so I had to narrow it down. Honey, which time was that? Which one was that now? Was that the Platters, different time?
The Platters.
Not the Pretenders?
Not
them?
No.
Oh, man.
The Platters.
Oh, Michael Jackson. Right. Okay.
Wouldn't you remember it was Michael Jackson?
Right. Kind of something hard to forget, right?
Yes. Like, his wife had to kind of cue him.
I went to Motown once. I had I went to Costco first and bought a shoe polish. Honey, who was that singer that time that I did? I don't, you know, that guy.
Stevie Wonder.
Was it Stevie Wonder, honey? I don't remember. Ray Charles?
Ray Charles.
Was it? This is so great.
I had the shoes. I had a glove. And I used just a little bit of shoe polish to put under my or on my cheeks. And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off. But it was a dance contest. I had always liked Michael Jackson. I actually won the contest because I had learned how to do the moonwalk. But then let me tell you what happened, Alan.
Before you do, let me just say, I don't know if any of y'all put on blackface. Any of y'all? Don't act like... What? No? He actually asked that rhetorical question to the audience. I don't know if you've all ever put on shoe polish on your face. But it's very hard to get off, am I right? Am I right?
You have to scrub.
Yeah. All y'all with the shoe polish on your face. Am I right? You got to use... I like that. What's that? Lava soap? That lava gets out everything. Everything. Am I right? But the stuff... Sometimes I get the stuff at the airport. The good... Those guys, they have the good stuff. That stuff's really hard to get out of your face. He asked the crowd a rhetorical question. I don't know if you all have put shoe polish on your face.
Should I back it up?
Yeah, this is amazing.
And I used just a little bit of shoe polish to put under my or on my cheeks. And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off. But it was a. It was
am I right? I mean, I don't know if y'all have tried it, but I'm sure everybody will try it after this.
I get an amen.
But if you're putting a little bit on this time. To your point, you know already it's hard to get off.
So yeah, how did he know that if that was his first time? Yeah, I mean, obviously I knew that by then. I was an experienced blackface painter at the time that I put that on.
Like, it's common knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know how many of you all put blackface on, a little shoe polish on, you in the press corps. How many of y'all in the press corps do that? Show of hands. Show of hands, please. Like a salute, which you get, maybe like a Nazi salute if I could.
Please, not a salute.
No, his wife goes, no. She says inappropriate.
No salute.
No salutes today. This guy's amazing. I liked Michael Jackson very much. Very much.
So much he couldn't remember his name.
So much, yeah. 8 seconds ago, I had to ask my wife who that guy was. I loved him.
What's his name? The singer? Michael Jackson, excuse me. That's why I had Pam with me. I had the shoes. I had a glove. And I used just a little bit of shoe polish to put under my or on my cheeks. And the reason I used a very little bit is because I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but you cannot get shoe polish off. But it was a dance contest. I had always liked.
And Pam's look on her face, he's dead. Like, she's going to murder him in his sleep.
I don't know if anybody's ever tried that.
I don't know if anybody's ever tried that. My staff here has samples to hand out. So you can all try it. Let's all put on shoe polish on our face together. I'll guide you through it. Avoid the eyes. This is a common mistake the first couple times you do it. I remember the first time I did it, I got it in my eye. And then luckily my buddy had a Klan robe on. I could wipe it off. So I could just, can I borrow your Klan robe there a little bit and just get out of my eye? But you got to be careful of that. Secondly, don't get it on your lips because, but not, no, she's saying.
You don't. You leave the lips.
She's saying I shouldn't mess. I should, but instead I'm going to keep talking, make more of a bigger jackass of myself in front of everybody. So, staff, have you all handed out the samples of shoe polish yet? I'd like y'all to try it for me, if you would. I gave you complimentary loofah pads, too. But so you're right, though. He absolutely had done it before. Otherwise, how would he know it's hard to get off?
Yeah. So this time, he just put a little bit on his cheeks.
This time.
Apparently, the first time, he, like, slathered it all over his face.
I've never put shoe polish on my shoes, let alone my face.
I don't know if you've all tried this. What? I tell you, first time I put it on, I went through two different cans of this stuff. And then my buddy in the clan robe, he was like, who is that? And I thought, I better tell him right now. So not appropriate, honey. I shouldn't tell any more stories. But instead, I'm going to keep telling stories. And then I'm going to say that my yearbook was hacked. I'll do that a little bit later. How my yearbook might have been hacked by somebody. So I've admitted I put on blackface. But I still say my picture. I say my picture still could have been hacked.
Rich COE 306, Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.